Of the Lama Chupa is to do with that of the main verses, the refuge, the field of merit, etc. And these the other long transmission will offer next time. And in the Lama Chupa preliminary verses, there are some Sanskrit verses. The Sanskrit verses is that of the name of the text. Now people are wondering why do we translate between from the Tibetan to the into the Sanskrit, for example, such example that is the author of the text is the most venerable Panchen Chukyi Gyatso, who authored the text. So and the name of the text has been he, although he's a Tibetan composer, he composed the name of the text, he left it in the Sanskrit. Why is it called Lama Chupa? Now Lama Chupa refers to that of the offering to the teacher, which means that the object towards which you make offering is that of our teacher. So the first preliminary verses is that. So to explain it simply, which means you say within great bliss, I manifest as a Guru Idam. So now there are two visualization that we can do here. According to one visualization, first is to bless the earth, the entire foundation, and invite the inconceivable mention before oneself arise is then the form of the Guru Idam. Now another manner is to first manifest as a Guru Idam before blessing the earth foundation and then arising the immeasurable palace. Inconceivable mention. So according to Panchen Lusang Gyatso, the most venerable throne holder of Panchen Lama, according to his composed text, now he wrote such that within great bliss I manifest as Guru Idam. Now when manifesting as Guru Idam within the Lama Tripa text, this Guru Idam, this is essentially in conformity to that with the practice of Guhya Samaja. Now the Guru Idam, now what it refers to here is Guru Guhya Samaja. Now besides that, it can also be arising as Yamantaka or Heruka. All these are possible. So what you can understand here is that Panchen Lusang Gyatso, when composing the Guru Puja, now mainly he's essentially composing it with Guhya Samaja as the foundation, as the underlying principle behind the text. So beginning the first verse, saying that within great bliss I manifest as a Guru Idam. So now what does it mean? Now what it means here, the great bliss refers to as a result of realizing great bliss, non-dual emptiness, and this great bliss arising from realization emptiness. Now essentially only those with having received the highest yoga empowerment, only then could they receive this explanation. So within the Vajrayana there are four tantra types and there are four levels of tantra type. Lama Chupa refers to that of the highest yoga tantra and it does not refer to the three lower levels of tantra. So when you say great bliss, now what kind of great bliss does it refer to? Now we must understand that great bliss, what it refers to is that of Dhammakaya, not the realization of emptiness. The Dhammakaya, which realizes this, is original, is inherent nature. It's called fundamental nature. Now, why do we mention or to say that within great bliss of emptiness, the Dhammakaya, the great bliss, why do we mention this? We mention this because within highest yoga tantra, at the same time, simultaneous being able to accumulate both merit and wisdom. And this is the highest yoga tantra. In the practice of highest yoga tantra, you're able to accumulate both wisdom and merit. So this is what the lower tantras or the sotrayana are not possessed of, this ability to accumulate both aspects. So in the Sutrayana or in the other levels, you can only do the accumulation of both separately. You're not able to do the accumulate both aspects simultaneously. So when you mention about great bliss or great bliss, non-dual emptiness, when we say bliss, now it refers to is that of merit, accumulation of merit. So when we talk about emptiness, it refers to is the fundamental inherent nature, which is that of the wisdom accumulation. So it's within one mind continuum, you're able to manifest or accumulate both aspects together. So through this reason, we mention about within great bliss. So I manifest as a Guru Idam. Now what does it mean? It means that it refers to the fruition. Now it refers to the Idam, which is not non-dual in nature with a Guru. So therefore refers to the Guru Idam. So when you mention the Guru or you mention the Idam, what it means is a non-dual with a self nature. So this is also the fruition, the end, the result to which we are aspiring towards. When oneself manifests as Guru Idam, now the Idam or the deity, it refers to the Dhammakaya aspect of Buddhahood. So when it's talked about the Guru, now what it represents, someone who is very close, intimate to us. So when you say from the heart of Guru Idam, let me issue forth, read it forth, blessing the environment and the beings therein. So transforming all beings and into all the environment to the pure land and beings into enlightened beings, and sentient beings to enlightened beings. So what we should visualize is that from the heart of the myself as Guru Idam, let me issue forth to the 10 directions, as a result of which you bless the environment and the beings therein, and all becomes most perfectly arrayed with only excellent qualities, infinitely pure. So now it means this: everything is perfect, everything is pure, there is no impurity at all, every aspect, every environment and the beings therein are all the original nature is that of the manifestation of the their aspects are all the manifestation of the Buddhas. So therefore in the text of the Guru Lama Trepa is saying that within great bliss I manifest as Guru Idam. Now some people put this as the first phrase, but in for certain texts they place the text another verse in front instead of this. So it is actually modified according to different oral lineages. So why? That's because, as we say in Lama Chupa, there are two kinds of texts. But according to Panchen Losang Gyatsen, he placed these as the first verse, which means within, which is within great bliss and manifests the Guru Idam. This manifesting is Dhammakaya, blessing the environment and beings and transforming into purity. And the other kinds of text is a turning, is blessing all environment being first before oneself manifesting as Guru Idam, which means within this the expansive inconceivable self nature arises the immeasurable palace before oneself arises Guru Idam. So all becomes most perfectly arrayed with only excellent qualities, infinitely pure, which means it's solely pure. And even the Guru's Idam is that of the pure body of the Buddha, and the mind is that of the Dhammakaya of the Buddha, etc. So when we see the everything is being transformed into utter purity, people may think that this is the offerings or the environment, but this is not the case. Now what it means is that everything pures transform into only purity, and everything is pure land, and all the Guru Idams are enlightened Dhammakaya. So these are all enlightened Dhammakaya manifested Tathagatas or Buddhas. So at this point there is no such thing as the existence of sentient being. You must visualize everything is being enlightened pure Dhammakaya. Now besides that, you should also contemplate that ourselves and all sentient beings from now until Buddha who is attained continually take refuge in the Guru and the Idam, or the Guru non-dual with the Idam. So following what recite is the Nama Gurube, Nama Buddhaya, Nama Dhammaya, Nama Sangha. Now these four phrases, now actually in Sanskrit, so it means to take refuge in the Guru, take refuge in the Buddha, take refuge in the Dhamma, take refuge in the Sangha. Now you should recite these three times. Now when we actually mention about the Guru, Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, now in Sanskrit, now of course we may all know that the teacher is a Guru, the Buddha is a Buddha, of course the teaching is the Dhamma, and the spiritual companions are the Sangha. Now the following verse is that for the sake of all Mother Sentient Being, I transform myself to the Guru Idam, so shall I lead all beings to the Guru Idam Supreme Enlightenment. Now what it means here is that our self arises Guru Idam, and so that I can lead all sentient beings to similarly attain to the Guru Idam Supreme Enlightenment, and to place them upon this stage and level. Now what it means here is that about this is the merit view of the Guru of the Lama Chupa. Now the previous phrase Nama Guru Buddha Dhamma Sangha, now what it means is that to take refuge. Now to take refuge is not an ordinary refuge, but that the refuge with the Mahayana motivation, so that later on it was mentioned that for the sake of benefiting all sentient being, for the sake of benefiting them, I transform myself to the Guru Idam, so that I can place all being into the Guru Idam's realization. So for this reason I take refuge, and for this reason I arise as a Guru Idam. Now generally when you talk about the Mahayana refuge, what is meant by that? It means to take refuge on the basis of bodhicitta. It's only on the basis of bodhicitta that we call it a Mahayana refuge. So with regard to the following verse, it strengthens or reinforces what we have been recited earlier on, which means for the sake of all Mother Sentient Being, to be quickly from this moment in this very life itself, as quickly as possible, quickly I want to attain the state of a Buddha, of a Guru Idam. Why is that so? Because if we are not able to attain the Paramita state of a Buddha, we will not be able to be free from the mundane suffering. So therefore, from now onwards, I will need to diligently exert effort, not from tomorrow or the following day, but in this very life, in the fastest manner possible, methods, for the sake of all sentient beings, I want to attain the Paramita state of a Buddhahood. So the following verse refers to for the sake of all Mother Sentient Being, to be free from suffering, for Mother Sentient Being from suffering. Now, be free from suffering, it means to attain the state of Arhanthood, but now we are talking about here is to attain the state of the great bliss of Buddhahood. So therefore, it refers to bring all sentient, it means the fundamental ignorance, habitual tendency, defilement, etc., all to be purified. To bring all beings to be free from sentient being, to place them upon the primordial state of Buddhahood. So the next verse, what it's saying is a promise, which means that we're making, what kind of commitment or promise we're making? The commitment promise is that, as what we say in the past, all the objectives we have, as was mentioned before, all the habitual tendency, the peripheral defilements, etc., all to purify, so as to bring all beings into the state of the higher state of Buddhahood, and for this reason alone, and engaging in the profound path of Guru Yoga. So the next portion is that of the blessing of the inner offering. Now we are saying that there are four kinds of offering: outer, inner, secret, and suchness offering. Now in the Lama Chupa, and is a complete inclusion of these four types of offering. Now the inner offering refers to the offering. Now inner offering is sometimes is blessed to the manner of blessing according to Yamantaka, some according to Guya Samaja manner of blessing and offering, and some according to the Heruka manner of blessing the inner offering. Now, so you can bless the inner offering according to one's idam. So after we've arisen as a Guru Idam, now what kind of Guru Idam shall we arise as? Now this will be in line with what we are doing daily. If we are doing Guya Samaja, Heruka or Yamantaka, now in line with our daily practice, we shall arise as that particular Idam concerned, to bless the inner offering. So now, at the moment, we shall visualize the merit field. Now, merit field, there are two kinds. One is that of the Lamrim merit field, and the other is that of the Lama Chöpa merit field. Now, generally, there are these two types of merit field. So, Lama Chöpa merit offering, the central figure is Lama Tsongkhapa. Now, on Tsongkhapa's right is that of the profound lineage. To the left is that of the left is the profound lineage. To the right is the vast lineage. So, following now in front of ourselves in the space. So, when visualizing the lineage teachers, to the right, the left is the vast and the profound, respectively. And in front of ourselves are all the gurus who have all our gurus, especially our root teacher, is kind to us in three ways. Now, behind him is that of the is a lineage guru of blessings. So, the blessing lineage teachers. So, we must know that every lineage teachers, their source originate from that of Vajradhara. So, Vajradhara is the first lineage master. So now, just now, we are saying that Tushita, 100 deities, 100 deities of land of joy. Now, a type of this of visualizing is that to the left is that of Saraswati, and but in the Lama Chöpa, this kind of visualization is not there. We should have be with us a picture of the merit field. If I make an explanation according to the picture, there is that of the at the lower portion is that of the four idams that is close to Tsongkhapa's lineage. Now, the placement of the four levels of Tantra, the top level is that of Thais Yoga Tantra, the second level is that of the idams of the Yoga Tantra, and downwards is that of the Chaya, and down and even lower than that is that of the Kriya Yoga level. So, the four levels of Tantra, these idams below these are that of all the Buddhas of the three times, and below the level down below that are the Bodhisattva of the ten direction, and below that are all the Shravakas or hearers of all direction, Pajeka Buddha, and down that is that Shravaka, and below that are all the hero, heroine, protectors, Dakinis, and the lowest level is that of the protectors. So the merit fields, manner of visualization, it should be in the space in front of oneself, but not too high, because if visualize the merit field too high, we may inadvertently gaze high up to the sky, and this is bad for our neck. It should be at a space which is just of the right level, so that we will not suffer from exhaustion. So what we can see is that to the right and the left, to the both sides, upper and lower level of both sides, are four clusters of lineage lamas. The images, now these images, there's a reason as to why we divide them to four clusters. Now this refers to the old Kadampa, the new Kadampa, the old and the new Kadam tradition. And so the old and new Kadampa are there at the upper and lower level, that with the respective gurus' names. Now, when offering in a text, extensive mandala offering text, all their names are all given. Now, in the text, you're saying that, that the crown of all is called the crown of sages of mandala offerings, the name of the text, whereby the names of both the old and the new Kadam gurus, their name are all individually respectively stated. When after visualizing the merit field, we will say Oma Hom. Now, what does Oma Hom mean? Now, Om is to bless, are transforming to nectar, and then Om increases and becomes huge. Now, Om increases and becomes huge. Now, how huge or how wide is it? It is as limitless as that of the ocean. Now, at this moment, the inner offering, the nature of inner offering to be seen as that of the fundamental nature, the aspect is that the five meat and five nectar, and what do you call it, inner offering? Now, inner, outer offering, what's the distinction between the two? Now, ourselves, what we have ourselves, within ourselves is known as the inner offering. What ourselves do not have is, it's not internally but external, such as flowers, drink, water, etc. These are the outer offerings, and our five meat and five nectar are within ourselves, so therefore it's called the inner offering. So when we are contemplating the person who is making the offering, the offerings themselves and the object towards whom we are making the offering. Now these three aspects are themselves interdependently arising, and so are nature, by nature are void, and so by contemplating this, it constitutes suchness offering. So what is meant by secret offering? Now secret offering refers to the father and mother Buddhas as union, where great bliss then arises. When from great bliss arises the undefiled wisdom, and wisdom which then again penetrates realization and emptiness. Now this is known as that of the secret offering. Now the secret offering is unique to the Hatha Yoga Tantra. The other lower three levels do not mention about secret offering at all. So what we offer now, the inner offering, how should we visualize it? Now the nature is that of suchness, the aspect is that of the inner offering, and they individually, the offering types have their own particular function. The function is in order to advance the level of wisdom and bliss within the senses, the arising of these, and then pervading it to all space and environment. So what it means here is that the inner offering, the nature is that of suchness, and the aspect is that of the five means and five nectars, the form, and then the offering aspects that have their own particular function. Their function is to arise within the six senses, to arise within the six senses, non-dual bliss and emptiness, especially where the mind is, arises non-dual bliss and emptiness. So therefore we call this the profound arising in the mind of non-dual bliss and emptiness. Now, with regard to the advancement within the six senses, now what this means is that within that, the form is that of the sense of eye and smell, ear, etc. All the extension manifestation of taste, and that of the understanding of all phenomena of the mind is that of the within great bliss, the nature of great bliss. Hence, therefore, it was mentioned that within six senses, what manifests from it are the individual use, individual function arising from the six senses, or rather is to the functions to generate the extraordinary precise awareness of voidness and bliss as objects to be enjoyed by the six senses. Now the object towards which we make the offering are what has just been mentioned before, the merit offering, the merit field, the holy beings, the holy objects in the merit field. Within beings who possess of bliss and voidness. Now this refers to the offering of suchness and secret offering. Now here we must be able to grasp the lamrim. We must be able to understand the principle as taught in the entry to the middle way, and only by understanding this could we properly understand this verse here of the extraordinary pristine awareness of voidness and bliss as objects to be enjoyed by the six senses. To fully understand this phrase, we need to know the entry to the middle way. So in Hatha Yoga Tantra, now what we are trying to remove is that of the ordinary perceptions. Now, by removing ordinary perception, we are then able to realize that self-nature is empty, and to know that there's no independently arising matter. So, and by removing this ignorance, then can we say we have achieved, or we want to generate the extraordinary precise awareness of voidness and bliss? If to simply paraphrase it, is saying that in I we can see the external form, but the external form are themselves not independently arising. So therefore we say by nature they are empty. So therefore we have to realize that when we feel all the external forms or aspects, all these forms and aspects are not by themselves, are not independent arising, but by nature they are empty. So with regard to the offerings that we are making, they are not minute or little, but actually vast, limitless, inconceivable, filling all space, upper, lower, and middle areas, whereby the eyes are beyond the vision, beyond the limits of one's vision. So when making the visualization, you must visualize that the entire space and environment are all completely filled with the offerings. There is not a small particle or area which is not filled with the offering, and all these are manifested from our mind. So what we are making the offerings here are not just what we place the material tactile offerings we place on the shrine, the altar in front of us, but in addition to that includes all the visualized offerings. So when the offerings that we visualize are limitless, so then our merit similarly too will be limitless. If we can visualize only just a little bit, a minute particle of offering, similarly it will result also in just a little bit of offering. In Tantrayana, this is saying that in Vajrayana, it arises from visualization, contemplation and faith. So therefore we need to rely upon the Tantric practitioners' respective abilities. Now within Tantrayana, if an experienced Tantrayana practitioner, he will be able to grasp or master the principles behind Tantrayana and to visualize the limitless offering. But for an ordinary practitioner, he or she is not able to visualize such a limitless aspects of it, but he or she can simply with faith think that such an offering has truly been created. So but because this refers to the teaching of Tsongkhapa, so in Lama Tsongkhapa, the visualization for Lama Tsongkhapa is in line to how Tsongkhapa explained the following phrase mentioned about Detong Yemi Lalam Yangpa Kunzang Chochi. It means in the vast heavens of indivisible voidness and bliss, it means billowing clouds of Samantabhadra offerings. That's verse number 9. In the vast expanse, in vast heaven, what does vast heaven refer to? It refers to all the gods or the idans all being congregated together and in indivisible voidness and bliss. And as we are seeing here, the manifestations are all pure. And why are they pure? They are pure because all these manifestations are by nature empty. So by nature empty, hence therefore it is pure. And when it's pure, we are saying that the within indivisible voidness and bliss, everything that is congregated within voidness and indivisible voidness and bliss in the vast heavens amidst the billowing clouds. So, indivisible voidness and bliss. Now, and these phrases unique to Hatha Yoga Tantra and not mentioned even in the other levels of Tantra. So, when you see these phrases, you can safely attribute it to the class of the Hatha Yoga Tantras. So, what is meant by indivisible voidness and bliss? Now, why is it voidness and bliss? Because I realize that every manifested phenomena is without inherent nature. When we realize that this inherent nature are empty, then we call it empty, and within emptiness arises happiness or great bliss. And so therefore we are saying within one single continuum arises accumulation of both merit and wisdom. So in Buddhism, the root, the path, as well as the fruition, and how do we establish this? And Buddhism, what I talk about foundation, foundation is that of the relative and ultimate truth. The path is that of the wisdom and compassion as being the path, the skillful and wisdom, and then the fruition is that of the Sambhogaya, Dhammakaya, as well as the Namanakaya. Now within a continuum to be able to accumulate both wisdom and merit, the force of these, this aspect is only is unique to Hatha Yoga Tantra. So in order to attain the form body of a Buddha, it's true the aspect of great bliss to accomplish the Buddha's Dhammakaya is to realize that all phenomena are without inherent existence of the nature of emptiness. Therefore within a single continuum we can accumulate both accumulation and then to acquire the three bodies of a Buddha. So following that, I mentioned what we have the earlier on described, which is that the idams are all emplaced upon the jewel tree. In a jewel tree, now what does it refer to? And it refers to a tree being made up of precious substances, and is wish granting. The tree itself has five branches, and of the five branches there are all kinds of precious jewels, and these precious jewels appear in the form of leaves, flowers and fruit, and its center is being emplaced, and its middle is a line shown upon which is a lotus, and upon which is is that of a moon, of a moon days, and on top of the sun and full moon it sits my root guru, who is kind of all true way, means a guru who has given empowerment, who has given oral transmission, has given teaching, and so this is a guru who gave empowerment, oral transmission and teaching is known as a guru who is kind in all three ways. A teacher who is kind in all three ways, in essence, is all the Buddhas, and in aspect as a front rope monk, and it's three ropes of a monk, and with one face, two arms, and a radiant white smile, and towards all sentient being is always happy with one face and two arms. And so a guru is the one face, two arms, and the mudra is that in the right turn of expounding the Dharma, the left in the meditative pose, and above the left hand is that of an arms bowl, which is filled with nectar. And the teacher is wearing a golden yellow pandita hat.